In the past few years, we've seen overtly Christian publishers reject manuscripts from popular writers due to insufficient anti-LGBT content or other culture war policy violations. More than one of those books have found a home at Chalice Press, and regular listeners have heard several conversations with the editors and writers involved. Now, Chalice Media Group is launching a new division, Chalice Stories, and I'm happy to be joined by Rebecca Seitz, who's heading up the project. Rebecca, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, what exactly is the premise behind Chalice Stories?
Well, the idea was that we see, as you've talked about here on the show, you know, there's a bit of a takeover of even the word Christian in the culture, mostly by far right-wing evangelical people calling themselves Christians. And so they're creating content with that mindset, including stories. And, you know, we've all heard the Irwin quote of, you know, he who tells the stories rules the culture. And so it's really important that we have stories out there with what we believe are life-affirming, life-giving, life-enriching kinds of ideas. And so we decided to step into the story space. It's been interesting since we said that we were going to, because it seems like there was a bit of a dam of stories that had been building up and people were sort of just waiting on Chalice to step into the space. So it's been really fun since we said we were going to do this. But that was the impetus behind it, is I've always said, having been in this business for 20 years, if you want to teach someone, then you write nonfiction. If you want to get someone to think of a new idea, you tell them a story. So that's what we're going to do.
So how do you differentiate what Chalice Stories is publishing from what's currently being published?
Well, it's kind of easy for me because I started in the business on that other side. I started as the launch publicist for the fiction line of Thomas Nelson Publishers back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a PR firm that handled key titles for every major Christian publishing house in this nation. So I'm really familiar with what they're all putting out.
I'll bet.
And by those, you know, I mean the Zondervans, Moody's, Tyndale, you know, of the world, Baker, all of them. For us, the difference internally, not to get too inside baseball, but the difference for us from how those publishing houses go about determining what fiction they'll publish is we do not approach our content creators with a list of restrictions. For instance, the very first novel that's coming out of the Chalice Stories line will be in May of next year, and it's called Welcome to Triumph. It's written by two actual clergy women. One of them is UCC and one is ELCA. The three main characters in this story that we'll maintain throughout the series are clergy women themselves. And in that book comes with a content warning of sex scenes, language, and drug use, because our pastors, when they were writing, had a guiding force of pastors are people too. And we don't want to shy away from that. We want to paint reality the way that it is. We don't want to be prurient about it. And we're not, you know, that's not what we're doing. But character development, like actual human development, happens in all areas of our life. And so we include all areas of our life in our stories. And that's very different than, you know, our contemporaries over on the more religious right side, we'll say.
I think we've seen just how popular Christian fiction can be and how influential it often is. Did you actively analyze that influence, that approach, when you were building Chalice Stories?
I did not. Honestly, you know, stories have been my entire career. It's just always been where I feel most at home is writing. So I'm a writer myself as well. So writing stories, getting others to write stories, curating stories, promoting stories, releasing stories, it's just kind of what comes naturally to me. And I just have sort of an internal thing that I rely on of these are powerful stories and they could affect change in the culture. They could help people. And so we should get these stories out. But you know what? There are Christians that have been writing over on the ABA, on the general market side, ever since publishing started. And there still are right now. I mean, if you've ever read a Dean Koontz book, Dean Koontz is a faithful Catholic man, and that worldview is in his stories as well. He just happens to publish with an ABA publishing house. Same for Charles Martin. Charles started at Thomas Nelson. I was his first publicist at Nelson. Now his books have been made into huge movies. The Mountain Between Us, I think, was his last one. And I think he's at an ABA house right now, a general market house. So it's their people of faith who are publishing from that worldview and that set of values. They just aren't all doing it with CBA, Christian Bookseller Association houses.
What is the audience that you're targeting, and what kinds of stories are you working on publishing?
Some of that I can tell you and some I can't yet, but what kinds of stories are we publishing? Relevant ones. Ones that story lovers truly love to read. I mean, we're not in a specific genre. We happen to have acquired, in the beginning, I told you about the very first novel, which is a women's contemporary, but the one the month after that in June is a historical that's written by USA Today bestseller Nicole Evelina. And it's a fictional tale about the founder of Sisters of Mercy, Catherine McCauley. So it's the genre is not really as much of a determining factor for us right now as it is the content itself. And we're looking for stories that the worldview that they start with is one that we believe if it were in place, we'd all be living better lives right now. So I've said to a lot of authors, like I watched Schitt's Creek. I don't know if your listeners watch that show, but I made it through the first two not so exciting seasons to the rest of it. But one of the things I really appreciated that Dan Levy did in that series is he presented a world where there was acceptance and there was true and authentic care amongst those characters. It was just a world that we would all enjoy living in. And there was never a question of why is this world this way? There weren't arguments about that world being that way. It simply was. So we're sort of fascinated by that idea of let's tell stories that take place in worlds that we would want to live in.
You know, it's interesting. I, as a rabbi, I've been exposed to a lot of books, especially from Zondervan, because they marketed to clergy in a variety of circumstances. Mm-hmm. I remember clearly getting a fictionalized version of the Book of Esther that included, it included a section of contemplating on the coming Messiah. Clearly an insertion of the impending coming of Jesus into a story that happened hundreds of years before that, according to
I'd love to know Bible. how they did that.
I'm sure the book is still on their list. Is there a proselytizing aspect to Chalice stories like there is with Zondervan and some others? Or
no.
So it's simply a narrative of the experiences of people in, as you said, a world we'd like to live in.
Yeah, it's one of the things I enjoy about the Disciples of Christ, which is the denomination that we are affiliated with, is this wholehearted acceptance of and willingness to live in a place where we're all walking out our faith. We're all figuring it out. Nobody's walking down this journey going, well, I absolutely know this, and therefore the rest of you have to conform to it. It just, I've so appreciated when I am coming to Chalice Press and learning about how this denomination handles differences of belief and faith and walking it out. And so our fiction looks like that as well. There's no, you absolutely have to check off these boxes and that's going to get you into heaven. There's none of that stuff. There's nothing about Jesus' second coming in our fiction. Never will be. This is not the house of Left Behind. No, all respect to Jerry. This is not what we're doing.
You know, on a more general topic, I know that there are enormous challenges to book publishing in this age of short attention spans. What made print seem like the right way to go?
Well, it is not the only medium that we are working with now. I don't know if you saw that we also recently announced Chalice Voices is launching in January, and that's our podcast network. And some of those are scripted shows. I have a background in creating those in my own company. So scripted podcasts are like old radio dramas where you have actors bringing characters to life. So some of ours will be scripted like that, and some will be unscripted, which is probably a little more what your listeners are familiar with. Sounds just like this, like your radio show on podcasts. So we are going to be in that medium as well. And then in several years from now, our hope is that we can continue expanding even onto screen with film and television and streaming. But that's in our, you know, multiple phases down the road. But one of the reasons that we wanted to stay in print where we are is because it is a medium that still reaches the masses. Is it as large as it used to be? It's not. And right now in the publishing industry is only projected to grow 1.2% year over year from this year to next year. But that's still growth, which means people are still reading books, and we still want to make certain that we've got material in front of them that we think leaves them a better human and the nation a better nation just for having engaged with it.
Wonderful. Can you talk about some of the other authors you've connected with to get Chalice Stories off the ground?
I can't some of them. I can't all of them yet. I was really excited to find Nicole because we wanted to come out of the gate with, you know, a big name, and she is in the historical space. A lot of people know her from The Presidentist and some of her other work that got her to be a USA Today bestseller. So I'm pretty stoked about having Nicole as a part of it. We are adding more writers to the Triumph County series as we speak, some of them with larger known names and platforms than others. Because with that series, the intention is to release at least 2 books a year in that series. So we've got the first one coming in May. The next one comes out in November, and it's a Christmas read. It's a holiday read. I can't tell you. It's so frustrating when I come on. I'm like, let me tell you all this great stuff. And
it's just a guarantee we'll have you back. That's all.
There you go. Let's do that. I'm on board with that. I can say genre wise, you know, we've talked to a sci-fi writer. We've talked to some romance writers, more women's contemporary writers. We also have a gentleman that the ink's not dry on his contract, so I probably can't say his name, but it's a really cool, like if you liked, what was that book? Wag the Dog. Remember that?
Sure.
If you like, you know, political intrigue kind of thrillers, this one, the politics, it's really based in church politics. Of someone getting elected to the presidency within a particular denomination and all the politics that were involved in that. But it has that kind of, you know, political wag the dog kind of a feel a little bit to it, I think.
So these are names that people who are avid readers are going to recognize.
Some of them, yes. I mean, I've been really lucky and fortunate and blessed, insert your adjective here, to have gotten to work with some of the pretty big names in the business over, you know, my couple decades in it. And what's been really fun for me is to go to them once I came to Chalice and say, hey, there's this press over here that allows you to talk about LGBTQIA issues in your stories and talk about gender equity in your stories. And that welcomes that kind of those kinds of values and worldview. And there seems to have been a hunger in the marketplace for it. I've had 2 agents that have approached me and said, you know, I've got this giant list of authors that have just been waiting for something like this because their material won't get published by Nelson and Zondervan and Lifeway and all of them. So, yeah, I think we'll probably recognize some of these names going forward.
So that's great because we know that Chalice Press has been an invaluable home for several books that were overtly rejected by conservative Christian publishers. Mm-hmm. I presume there's a similar story when it comes to fiction. That seems to be what you just said. Can you talk about some of the voices or at least some of the issues you hope to amplify through the publications at Chalice Stories?
Well, it's probably going to end up quite similar to what we cover in nonfiction because the issues are what the issues are. You know, we're always looking at issues of racism, issues of gender equity, issues of sexual equity, orientation equity. We're always looking at places to level the playing field for, and I'm doing air quotes, the other. You know, that is, sure. is usually ostracized by some of the other publishing houses. You know, I had a very good friend of mine. He's been in the business probably 40 years, mostly over in film and television. And he and I were talking about a big job offer that he had gotten from one of the more hardline right media outlets. And he was struggling with it because he said, I know they want me to go create this television series for them. And I know what I'm not going to be able to put in it. There won't be representation of minorities. There won't be representation of women in leadership, especially over men. There won't be any of that. And I said, yep, that's a really hard call because that's part of the problem. Do you want to go be part of the problem? Yeah. You know, it's not making the world a better place. And so that's really the kind of thing that we want to focus on with our fiction lines, which is the same thing we focus with on our nonfiction line. It's that idea of there is a beautiful way that the world works. It's obviously not working that way. Right now. We all know that. We all feel that. So if we can have a part in getting it to that more beautiful place with our stories, because storytelling is how you shift things, that's what we want to be a part of.
How can people who are listening to this program learn more about Chalice Stories and where your books will be available?
Right now you can go to chalicemediagroup.org will get you there, or chalicestories.com I think will get you there. You'll see at the bottom of the website, which we recently underwent a whole brand refresh that went live just a couple of weeks ago while I had COVID, which was so much fun.
Very nice.
Doing a whole brand refresh while I was sick. But I say that to say, if your listeners go today, it might not look like that in about 30 days. But for today, at the bottom of the site, you'll see all of the news, and part of that news is the launch of the fiction line. There, they can get in touch with me via the website as well if they have story ideas. I'd love to hear about them. We're actively acquiring.
So people can contact you if they have an idea for a story and would like you to consider them.
Yes. One of the beautiful things here at Chalice is we do not require you to be represented by an agent to work with us. I know a lot of the houses do. A lot of houses I've worked with in the past do, but we just don't have that requirement here in place right now. What you will need is a book proposal. So it's not really helpful to just send me your book ideas. It's more helpful for me to see a fully fleshed out proposal. And that way I can really ascertain and take it to the team here and figure out, is it going to be a good fit with the line? And if so, when and where? We can have a conversation about it.
You packed a lot of information into our brief conversation here. I really thank you for that.
Thanks for having me. I can talk a mile a minute, and I love this, so I can talk about it all day long.
Rebecca Seitz is manager of the new Chalice Stories imprint at Chalice Media Group, with a focus on fiction that exemplifies progressive faith as lived through questioning, doubting, succeeding, loving, knowing, failing, giving, accepting, earning, receiving, caring, surviving, and thriving. Not necessarily all at the same time.
Or in that order.
Rebecca, best of luck with Chalice Stories, and thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, go team. I'm Jack Moline. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.